sons wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
How wonderful it is to be here with you. I always feel the Spirit of the Lord when I'm in this little church.
Thank the Lord.
Those wonderful songs that we sang bring back the goodness of our God. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Amen.
Aren't we so very blessed to have the God of all comfort when we cry to Him?
Amen.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Right.
Jesus tells us, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen. That's right.
What a wonderful thing to proclaim.
Amen.
All the things that we go through in each and every one of our lives, those that we love, those that we are close to, we cry to God and He's good to hear us. When nothing else can comfort you, God can.
Amen.
We think of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God, and He rules today. It's precious to know that, to think upon that.
Amen.
I found out a little bit more about Virginia this morning as I got up. Back in Tucson, Arizona, we have a lot of sand and rocks, and the moisture trickles on down. I happened to park my van in our yard last night and almost buried it in this thick type dirt that you got out here. Had to get some help to pull it out. You know, the good book tells us that when we say we are to do something, or we're going to do something, that we need to say that we do something, whether we do this or that, it is by the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
So, I'm glad the Lord's will was with me to be here this
Amen.
Morning.
I'm too thankful for that.
We had a wonderful drive. It's such a precious thing to see the clouds of heaven down on earth.
Absolutely.
You just see God.
Yeah. Amen.
God is everywhere. If you think about God, what would you be without God? You wouldn't have been created to start with.
Right.
But we have a wonderful, wonderful God, and the teachings that He gives us in His Scriptures is awesome.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I was reading a little bit last night, and I beg an interest in your prayers. I always am so humbled to be before God's little children, that He might be with us, that He might lift our hearts up, that He might comfort us. We come to this place for lifting up His name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Wow.
We are there, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We are in a heavenly place,
right,
meeting together to lift the name of Jesus up.
Amen.
Doesn't get any better than this.
No, it doesn't.
We forget all of our cares. We forget of all the things that we feel like we don't have.
Right.
And think about our blessings.
Amen.
But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing that we can read His Word. We are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's given us a lot of it right here.
Amen.
I'm going to go into Matthew. I'll try not to take too much of your time, because I love to hear Brother Gary in his preaching. You're very blessed to have a pastor that you have. 14th verse of St. Matthew in the 6th chapter. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, or of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." How often do we go through life complaining and downcast and feel downtrodden, and we wanted everyone to know that we're having all kinds of problems in this life? Well, let me tell you, if we go back to the Old Testament, in Isaiah, I can't hardly stay away from Isaiah.
It's good.
But I think it's in, what, the 58th chapter. He tells us about this fasting.
Yeah. That's right.
And we usually think of fasting as doing without a little bit of food for a little while. Let's hear what the Lord thinks a fast is. It'll put a whole new context in our minds about how to follow the Lord. He says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not?"
Yeah.
We want God to see how hard it is to get through this life.
Yeah.
He says, "Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" We want God to see all these troubles that we go through. "In the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate." That's what the Pharisees were doing.
Right.
"And to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." He says, Is it such a fast that I have chosen?" That's the fast that we chose, not he has chosen. "A day for a man to afflict his soul? It is to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him?" That's what we think a fast is.
Yeah.
That we're to deprive ourselves from something. Listen to what God tells us. He gets on in this chapter. He gets into the ifs and thens. which is a wonderful thing. He says, will thou call this a fast? He says, and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast I have chosen?
Yeah,
listen to him. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Don't worry about your hunger. You deal your bread to the hungry. And thou that bringest the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that ye cover them, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then, when you've got it right in your mind, in your heart, when you are fasting for Jesus Christ, you're doing the things that He has taught us to do. It says, then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward.
Right.
He says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. This is the humility that we need in our daily lives, to call to the Lord. That we're in the proper spiritual mind in order to commune with God.
Amen.
Doing His business, being His witness, doing the things that He would have us to do. Because He knows so much more than we do.
Amen.
His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher than our ways.
Amen.
And He shall say, here I am, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth in the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, listen to this, if, that's something we do, if thou drawest out the soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That's a promise of God. If you do these things, then I will bless you. You will be like a watered garden. How precious. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations. It goes continually through your life to those after you.
Right.
And thou shalt be called. They call us hard shells. Hard shells. I've heard it said, the hard shells.
Yeah. Yeah.
The repairer of the breach, the resolver of the past to dwell in. Another if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and fill thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's the fast that God wants us to look at and understand. Not that we have a little depravity of our own self-satisfaction for a while, but be as God is in heaven. Be as your Father is in heaven. It's a wonderful thing that we have these teachings that in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of all the problems that we have, we can think about someone else than ourselves. I don't know how many times I have visited the sick and those that have just dire problems. By the time I left them, I was feeling like I was on high.
Amen.
They passed on more comfort to me because they were close to the Lord.
Amen.
That's when we get close to the Lord.
Amen.
When we have these tribulations, when we have problems, when we're going through this life with those things that are so gut-wrenching we feel to us, we call upon the Lord. How precious it is that we have the Lord to call upon.
Amen. Amen.
It's a wonderful thing that we are so blessed. That is why it feels so good in anticipation of coming together to lift His name up.
Amen.
Because He's a precious, wonderful, adorable God. And we have our Savior, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand, interceding for us poor, worthless sinners have been saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time. It's good to be with you today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved
me. I thank the Lord for that. You pray for me. Praise you.
I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
What a wonderful time the Lord's allowed us to have already this morning. We're very, very thankful for His blessing and the song service and the preaching that's gone before and the sweet prayer that's been offered. As always, I ask you to pray for me as I stand before you this morning, the Lord would give us what we stand in need of. It's always amazing to me when you come to church and brethren go to the same passages oftentimes that you've been looking at either on the way to church or recently, and that's been the case this morning. I don't believe that just happens. I believe that's the work of the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what happens when God's little children get away from what we want to do and what we want to say and lean upon the Lord and look to the Lord for the instruction that's to come from God's Word. He calls His brethren that are not riding together in the van or riding together down the road to come and have like-mindedness and to be in one accord. And if we go another direction, we're going to have division, no doubt about it, among us. But if we look to the Lord, He will lead us and guide us to the things that God's little children need. And I do, again, ask you to just pray for me. I've had a passage of Scripture that's on my mind that involves the blessings of Almighty God, and we've heard a lot about that already today. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And I want to read the first 12 verses in your hearing of Matthew, chapter 5. This is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. This is the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And there are how many sermons could be preached from the Sermon on the Mount? Well, we could preach them back to back over and over again and still not begin to touch even one passage, one verse that's in the Bible, much less the number that could be in the one sermon that the Lord preached. What a blessing it is to have these words on record for us. I'll read them in your hearing, beginning in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him." So Jesus sits here, and as the instructor that He was, as the wonderful teacher that He was, His disciples come and sit, and He talks to them. And I don't believe it was just the 11 disciples that gathered here, but I believe it was others that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus taught on this occasion that were there at that time. And it says, "And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, And here we see Jesus as the first preacher to preach the truth and the gospel. Even though that the gospel had been declared throughout the entirety of the Old Testament in types and shadows, Jesus came into this world and opened up and showed unto us everything that was pictured there under the old law service, and brought out instruction to God's little children here in this world as a teacher. And these sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ are so absolutely important. Towards the end of this chapter, he'll lay down the importance of being not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And he mentions that it's a wise man who hears the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ and doeth them. We've already heard some things from the Old Testament that I believe would be very beneficial to us today in regard to the fast and what the fasting is and what that's really all about. Nothing we're doing today ought to be an open show for others to look at and think something of ourselves. That's what so much religion is. It ought to be that which is motivated by your heart and by the Lord who's worked in your heart. And when we are active and doing those things from the heart in sincerity to the Lord, there are blessings in it. And there are blessings that we'll miss when we fail to do that. And that's the if and the thens that Brother Darrell has already pointed out to us. Jesus is teaching us here some things that we ought to be doing, and is teaching in this Sermon on the Mount many things that were hard for God's people to hear and to understand. Many of them heard them, but he said it was a wise man who built, it was like a man who built his house upon a rock, who heard the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ and then did them. Coming to church won't benefit you anything very much. It may benefit you. It's good for you. It'll instruct you. But what's important is to hear what's being taught, hear the word of the Lord, and then go out and put that word in application in your life to the glory and the praise of Almighty God. And by the way, you can't do that by your own power, your own strength, or your own ability. Most of us have tried to reform our lives on the outside and tried to cover up on the outside and make the outside look right. And you know, it's like I've heard Brother Stanley say, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You got a pig that just looks kind of silly. Trying to dress up and make a pig something. It takes the Lord who works on the inside. It takes God who works on the inside. And these verses tell us that. And then we are to work out that which He has worked in. And we do that with fear and trembling. And when we're able to do that, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we recognize it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the glory and the honor and the praise is always going to belong to the Lord. It's not like the Lord is up in heaven saying, well, if you'll do this or if you'll do that, then I'll give you this and then I'll give you that. Those blessings are definitely there. But I'm telling you, there's blessings that are there for us already. His grace has already provided them. But many times we walk outside of that blessing because we don't get on track with what the Lord has told us, and we miss the blessing His grace has already provided for us. The Apostle Paul talks about receiving the grace of God in vain. If that wasn't possible, he would have never said that we should be careful that we don't receive the grace of God in vain. What I'm saying to you today is our lives have already been taken care of by Almighty God. He's already provided everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever I face today or the future of my life, as I look to the Lord, I have been promised a sufficient supply of His grace for the hour and for the moment, and whatever's coming, whatever comes this week, whatever happens today, if this week does come, if today does go, that's why we're to live one day at a time looking unto the Lord for His supply. And we have a promise eternally that He will be with us, and His Word fills us with that, and we are not only to be hearers of that, but then it should cause a change to take place in us, in our lives, where we think different, we act different, we talk different, and we behave different. Because you've been made different. And you're not going to get along in this world by not going along with the world. That's why I said, be not conformed to this world. If we get conformed to this world and try to fit into this world, listen, you as a little child of grace will never fit into this world, because this world is not your home. And when we try to do that, God's little children don't get happy. They get sad and brokenhearted. They can't live that way, because there's a God who's working in them that chastens them and corrects them. And you may think he will suffer you to go away from him and go another course. But I'm telling you, you will not be happy in that course. There is no happiness to be found. Here he's telling us, and I'll read it. Here he's telling us about happiness that's found by God's little children because of what the Lord has done for them. And when you and I acknowledge that and recognize that and really fast, isn't that right? We put off what we want and we do what He would have us to do. We cease to be who we want to be and become who He would have us to be. We quit saying, I want my way, my will, what I'd like to get done, and say, Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me. And when we turn our lives over to Him, I'm telling you, God's little children, they're lifted up. And what was it? They're like a tree planted by the water. You read all those good things. I'll tell you what, that sounds like a way to live, doesn't it? Amen. A way to live is to follow Him. And if you're having trouble in this old world, let's take account of that. When we're having trouble, let us ask ourselves this question. Are we following Him? And I'm not talking about missing out on things like trouble and problems and how you're going to escape that. I'm telling you, as sure as you're in this world, you're going to have family members that get sick. As sure as you're in this world, you're going to have financial troubles. You're going to have mental problems. You're going to have emotional problems. You're going to say, what kind of preacher are you telling us that we're going to have all these troubles? I want to be a faithful preacher and let you know, if you're in this world, as sure as you're in it, you'll have tribulations. And you'll have problems, and there's no escaping them. But I'm telling you, you can be like a tree planted by the water, that when the drought comes, you won't know it's there, because you have a daily, moment by moment, hour by hour supply in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, by the way, so much that He came into this world and died for you, and one day you'll be with Him in glory. If you live the rest of your life in trouble and in problems, there's a heaven awaiting, that this life will be just a moment, just a blink, just so quick because of what He has done for us. Listen, heaven's a real place that the Lord prepared for His people, and every one of them will be there one day. And when we're at home with Him in heaven, this life would just seem like nothing. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Sometimes a day for me can seem like 1,000 years. Seem like it's so long, and sometimes they seem so short. But I'm telling you, when we get home to glory, the little trouble that we've had in this world will be so insignificant to the glorious being in the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's going to be like. The Bible speaks of it in many different ways. It pictures, I believe, partly the Lord's church and also eternal heaven as having streets of gold and the city of pearls and all the beautiful. It's just spiritual language, by the way, to tell us it's going to be so beautiful and so wonderful there that we cannot describe it. And all the beauty of heaven and all that heaven holds to me and all the songs and all that we've explained, it hasn't begun to touch. I'll tell you, we'll be able to see Jesus Christ face to face, and we'll be satisfied, and we'll be with Him at home in glory, and we'll see all of God's little children, and what a day that'll be when there's no more problems. Sometimes we're here in this world and we think, oh, I don't think I can take another moment, another day. I'm telling you, there's a little heaven below here for God's little children, a place of escape, a place of comfort, a place of rest. That is in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not telling you how to get in something that the Lord hadn't already worked in your heart. If God hadn't given you faith, you can't trust in Him. If God hadn't given you life, you are thinking everything I'm saying is ridiculous. If God hadn't opened your eyes and your ears and your heart and your understanding, nothing I'm saying is going to be of any value or meaning to you. And I'm not talking about a weak little Jesus that would like you to be His follower. I'm talking about a God who speaks in the hearts of His children, and He wakens them from the dead state that they're in, not because they chose to be alive, but because He chose them. Amen. And you can fight Him if you want to. I'm telling you, you can't fight against God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if he's greater than the devil, he sure is a whole lot greater than I am. I can pull away like a little child. Little children do that sometimes. You want them to go the right way and they'll pull another way. I've often mentioned about seeing, you know, they don't see too many of them anymore, but you used to see a lot of them. They'd be walking in a mall and a child must be rambunctious because they have a little leash on him. And, you know, rather than him going over here, they got him on his little leash and he's pulling, just pulling hard. And, you know, you see them doing that. But they're keeping them in check and in the range. You know why? Because they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what can harm them. They don't know what can hurt them. And like little children, they want their own way and they're going another course. But mama and daddy love them so much, they're going to keep them in check. They either going to hold them on their arms. If they have to, they'll put them on a leash. But they're going to watch over them. And I'm telling you, don't you think the Lord loves His people as much as we love our children? The Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, will not the Lord give good things unto His children that ask Him? He said, ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Because God is a good God, and He will give even the Holy Ghost to them that ask for Him. And that's not meaning He gives you the Holy Ghost and that you didn't have it. Listen, you'd never ask Him if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost working in you. Do you love the Lord today? If you can answer yes to that, it's because the Lord has worked in you that love that allows you to be able to love Him. You don't love Him in order to get Him to love you. He loved you before the very foundation of the world. And your love for Him gives and proves evidence for that. Those of His disciples that He said here taught, He opened His mouth and taught them saying, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Strange language, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means those who are spiritual beggars. This is spiritual language to spiritual children. And what was that Brother Darrell told us from Ephesians 2? He went right to that text. That was one I thought, well, if I'm going to say anything today, I'm going to share this text. Brother Darrell's already shared it with you, and I love that. Made me feel better. Sometimes I come and I wonder, have I planned this, Lord? Is this my sermon that I wanted to preach? Is this what I want to say today? And I need to feel that it's from Thee. I need to feel that it's from Him. And when a preacher comes, and I talked to Brother Darrell last night, but I didn't talk about this verse. And when he comes in and brings that verse out and starts speaking on that verse that I had in my mind and thought that I wanted to share, I'm sitting there going, well, you got that covered. Isn't that good? You know, that doesn't make me jealous of him, make me upset with him, makes me happy. I'm thankful to have a yoke fellow in the ministry. I'm thankful to have a brother in Christ who's sharing the gospel. The Apostle Paul was thankful for those faithful brothers that shared the gospel with the Lord's people, because above everything, I want God's little hungry sheep to be fed. I want them to hear this gospel and this glorious truth. And I want them to know that every blessing they ever receive in their life is from the Lord. You didn't get it on your own. You didn't do something to get blessed. You praise Him because He blessed you to be able to do it. He said in Ephesians, He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means praise to Him. That's what our church is about. That's what your life and my life is supposed to be about. That's where I am supposed to focus and who I'm supposed to focus on. I am to be breathing air in this world in order that I can praise my Lord for all that He has done for me. And I ask you today, do you have anything to thank Him for? Sometimes we feel like I don't. I want you to count your blessings today. I want you to name them. Some of you are holding them in your arms. Sometimes they don't feel much like a blessing, but they're blessings. Sometimes you can feel like, I don't know why I have to deal with this. I don't know why I have to put up with this. Sometimes we'll sit there and we'll wonder why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I want you to know that the Lord has had you in His mind and in His heart from before the very foundation of the world. And you and I are to give Him praise for His goodness and His mercy that's been shown unto us. And thanks be to God that He's allowed us to see how poor, miserable beggars we are spiritually. I don't have a thing to offer Him. I don't have a thing to give to Him. I am in need of His blessings. And the Scripture says that if you feel that way, if you understand that, you are blessed to understand it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means praise be to Him who has blessed us. And by the way, this us is not just anybody. It's His children. Who is he blessed? He's blessed his children. If he had not blessed us, we wouldn't have seen him. We wouldn't have understood him. We'd have never felt to be in need of him. We wouldn't know to who to go to pray and to ask things for. We wouldn't know that there's anyone there for us. We certainly wouldn't believe that there was a Savior who loved us so much that he died for us on the tree of the cross, or that there's a heaven that awaits because of what he's done for us. And when we're in trouble, we'd just be without any hope in this world. You know, there are men and women in this world who think prayer is a waste of time. You don't believe that, do you? If you believe that prayer is not a waste of time, you've seen the benefits of it, seen the effects of it. I'm telling you, you're blessed if you understand that. That blessing didn't come out of your intellect. Somebody said, Mama and Daddy taught me it was important to pray. Mama and Daddy can teach you that it's important for them to pray, but they can't teach you that it's important to pray. Only God can do that. I can stand before you and tell you how important this church is to me, how important God's little children is to me, how important you are to me as God's little children, how important what we're doing right now is. And I can tell you, and you might think and understand what Gary thinks that, but it won't mean anything to you unless the Lord has awakened you to that. And when He awakens you to that, listen, He can do what I can't do. Aren't you thankful? What He does in our hearts, He allows us to understand. How blessed are you today to know how much you need Him? The Lord told His children, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit? Do you feel like I need help? I can't make it on my own? Listen, that's true of every man, woman, boy, and girl. But the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, he will not seek after God because God's not in all his thoughts. It's only God's little children that understand they need the Lord. It's only God's children that feel so unworthy even to call upon Him. It's only God's children that have a broken heart and a poor and a contrite spirit. And by the way, that high and lofty one, Isaiah again, who inhabits eternity, he dwells in the heavens with who? Those of a poor and a contrite spirit. And he lifts them up and sets them in heavenly places. Every time we're able to sit together and feel like one of His little children, when He lifts us up, what a glorious blessing that is. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I'm going to close with this part of the verse. Some of you getting nervous. Supposed to read 12 verses, he ain't got through 2. And sometimes he'll keep on going. Who has blessed us? Has he blessed you? With all what? Spiritual blessings. Oh, he's blessed us with natural blessings. But I'll tell you, if we had all, and listen, he's blessed all mankind with natural blessings. There's not a man on the face of the earth that deserves his life. If man got what he deserved this very moment, he'd be taken away, his life would be gone, and we would be separated from God in a place of torment that is there as the wrath of God is poured out upon those who committed sin. The wages of sin is death. And who is it that's committed sin? All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My knee hurts sometimes and I complain about it. If I got what I deserved, both knees would hurt all the time. And every other part of my body. If I got one knee hurting, I ought to be thankful the other one doesn't hurt. If I got something else going wrong, I ought to be thankful I got what I got going right. I ought to be thankful for what I have. And when God's little children approach Him with thanksgiving, thanking Him for all the things that they have, they don't have time to complain and murmur, because if you and I would sit and count our blessings, we'd never get done of all the goodness and the mercy the Lord has given us. And that is just what we've had in this world. And the Apostle Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're still of all men most miserable. We have a hope that goes beyond this veil of tears. One day I believe there's a time coming when neither knee will hurt. And that it won't have any more shoulder pain. Won't have any more problems or cares or trouble. I'll be made in fashion like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't have to worry about operations or surgeries or eyes going bad or teeth falling out or hearing being lost and all the natural things that sometimes plague us and we wonder how am I going to make it. I thought of that little sister when her body's failing her and there she is and her body's breaking down and how could she find any joy and peace in her life with everything like that's going on. I'm telling you, the Lord was present with her, and though He hasn't given me that grace that I could see myself satisfied with that, He's given her that grace. And you know when He gave it to her? He gave it to her when she needed it. And you know when He gives it to you? You won't need dying grace until it's time to come to die. So don't worry about it. When the time comes to die, He'll give you dying grace. Right now, He's giving us living grace. That means grace for living. Grace for the hour. Grace for the moment. God has supplied to you today everything that you stand in need of. And when tomorrow comes, He will supply that. He is able to open doors you and I cannot open. You believe that, don't you? He says to ask. He didn't say to ask any old way, though. He said ask believing. He didn't say just to ask any other way. As a matter of fact, He said, if we're not believing, don't think we're going to receive anything when we're not believing. Now, somebody said, well, that mean I got to get my own faith up? No, the faith is the gift of God. He's given you that, but you're to use it. You're to exercise it in believing and in trusting in the Lord. And by the way, let me get back to that verse. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us. He has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. He not only has blessed us with natural blessings, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If you've repented, that spiritual blessing came from the Lord. If you've believed in the Lord, that spiritual blessing came from the Lord. If you see the Lord and know the Lord, that spiritual blessing came from the Lord. If you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that blessing came from the Lord. If you're poor in spirit, that blessing came from the Lord. If you're meek, that blessing came from the Lord. If you're pure in heart, that blessing came from the Lord. If you're merciful, that blessing came from the Lord. If you're a peacemaker, that blessing came from the Lord. You didn't get any of that on your own. They're not things you do to get blessed. They are things you have because you've been blessed. See that? If I'm able to love Him, it's because He's blessed me to be able to love Him. He doesn't bless me because I love Him. I love Him because He's blessed me. You see the difference? You're not here because you're not His because you did something. You're His because He called you. When did He do that? He chose you before the very foundation of the world. In time He called you, and in each and every day He leads us and guides us and gives us many spiritual blessings, and every one of those spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. He lifts us up and allows us to sit together in heavenly places. And every blessing cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. And by the way, every blessing is in Christ. It's not anywhere else. Every blessing is in Christ. Have you been blessed? If you've been blessed, you must be in Christ. Isn't that true? Somebody said, well, if you're just doing this and do that, you'll get into Christ. Too late. If you're able to do this or that, even if you want to do this or that, even if you want to serve Him, if you want to love Him, that shows evidence that you're already in Him. And by the way, again, you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You were created in Him in regeneration, in the new birth. And now you and I are to do what He would have us to do, work out what He's worked in. And as we do that, all those promises come. I didn't get to even read the passage. I wish I... That's okay. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. We love you. Hope that wasn't too mixed up.